had a neighbor down the street. She was Kiowa too. And we were the only two little Indian kids, and they chased her too. But she had a really big sister that would come and rescue us. And almost beat the people up, you know, that were trying to hurt us, you know.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is Pamela K. Wesley. I'm Kiowa and Creek, or Muscogee Creek, they like to say. And I always like to start off my testimony of saying I am a product of the Jesus Road of my Kiowa people. I know and I've heard the language of my dad's side, the Kiowas. My mother did not speak Creek. She's half Creek, half white. And I always like to say that I am a fourth generation Christian Kiowa. And I am a third generation Christian Muscogee Creek, my mom's side, you know. I know, and where I start counting that fourth is with my great-grandmother. She was a Kiowa captive. Our family was brutally killed, unfortunately, and hidden away with some Kiowa people. And people tried to look for her, and they didn't find her until about 3 years, 2 or 3 years before she passed in 1934. And so when they found her, you know, she's a all Kiowa woman with braids. I think my dad kind of favors her look a little bit. There's been some grandchildren that look like her. Her first husband was Otobo, and Kiowa it's Ontombo. Bon, Ontombo. And the Indian agent said, we'll simplify it, say Otobo. So that's what my maiden name is, Otobo. It means otter's hat. But that's where I start counting as her a Christian. She was a Christian and housed because in the early 1900s, two missionaries came to the Kiowas and started sharing Jesus. Some took to it, some hated it, you know. And like the saying says, they may like the message, but they want to kill the messenger. But they didn't kill them off. You know, they did die, these missionary women. And I found out through different other relatives that one of them was part Cherokee. Isn't that something? In the early 1900s, and in 1917, they built Rainy Mountain by the Rainy Mountain, the mountain out that way, in the western Oklahoma, close to the Wichita Mountains. Rainy Mountain, Kiowa Baptist Church. It's still standing. The original building was burned down with lightning and then they rebuilt. Two times they had to rebuild, you know. But anyway, that's where they came and that's where my dad was. That's where Millie was all part of this to learn who Jesus is and on the Jesus Road. I was saved in the summer of June 1961. Don't know exactly what day. I was 8 years old, hot summer night, evening service on a Sunday night, and sitting on one of the wooden pews, and my parents, my family, I had one sister, one brother. We were all listening. My pastor was Brother Virgil Holcomb, and I heard him. I don't remember what he said or anything, but my parents were both Christian, and my parents raised me. I was the last of the three children. And so I'd just been raised in church At the age of 8, I remember asking her the invitation start, asked my mom, hold my hand and walk with me. And I know when we walked down, the pastor took my hand and said, even before he asked me, he said, what do you want? But I knew as soon as he said that, the miracle happened to change this heart. That's a miracle to me. And, what do you want? And I said, I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven, you know. And he said, are you sorry for your sins? I go, yes. And a lot of time testimonies are saying, how were you before you became a Christian? And I say, well, I don't know if I sinned that much, but you know, we sin, you know, 8 years old. You have, you know, all the thoughts and things, but I had a hard time growing up. I just know I didn't like school. Church was the refuge, or I had Creek friends and relatives would take me to the eastern side of Oklahoma where the Creek things were going on with churches and stuff. I did not enjoy school because of the color of my skin. We were predominantly always in a white school. And so we had a lot of, or I did, my sister and I did. My brother, not so much. But my sister and I had a really hard time with prejudice growing up. And I know my parents thought they were doing their best. My husband, he grew up on the north side of Oklahoma City, and all the ethnic groups were represented there. And I don't know how much I wished I'd been there, you know, look at people that look like me, you know, but that was not so. And so many, many times we were chased home, rocks thrown at us, call us the N word, you know, and, or their only good Indian is a dead Indian, you know, things like that. And so, oh, when I accepted Jesus, that was just, that freed, you know, freed me. And so I knew how it felt. So why would I be prejudiced against someone else? Even, you know, even non-Indians, the white person. I don't want anybody to feel that way. I grew up thinking that way, that you don't make people feel that, you know, feel so unloved, so hated, a lot of hate. And I did have hate. So that's, you know, as before I became a Christian, I had hate that, you know, I don't want to ever be around these people, and I hated to go to school. And my mom, dad, especially my mother, was really good tutoring to me, you know, really helped us after school a lot. I mean, they worked, but when she got home, you know. But once I accepted the Lord, that hate went away, because I knew how it felt to be hated, you know, an enemy, you know. And my sister and brother, they were helped rescue. I had a neighbor down the street. She was Kiowa too. And we're the only two little Indian kids, and they chase her too. But she had a really big sister that would come and rescue us and almost beat the people up, you know, that were trying to hurt us, you know. But it was nice to have somebody, you know, growing up. And high school got better because they found out, well, my sister could sing and she's in high school. And when I got there, they said, do you sing too? And I said, well, I don't know. And so I went to her vocal teacher and he said, yes, you can sing. So I started singing, you know. So then people then start treating you different because you can sing. But again, I thought, the prejudice that was still around me, I can't go with that anymore. I know how it feels. And so church was, once I accepted Jesus, and then my Sunday school teacher, how she discipled me and told me about what Jesus did and his, you know, his stories. I tell you, that was my refuge. And I said, how did she know I needed that? You know, when you're young, and they just tell you exactly. And I'll never, Rowena Clay was her name. Her daughter, Cindy, which is, I think she's a year or two younger than me, she accepted Jesus the morning of the same day I accepted. She was Sunday morning, I was Sunday night. And I'll just never forget that. And, my mom and dad just always proclaimed Jesus to me. My dad was my youth teacher. So my favorite verse in youth growing up in my teens was Philippians 4:13. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my parents spoiled us rotten, but they were always there. They knew that just because I leave home doesn't mean they stop parenting, you know, and I believe the same way, that you're all, once you're a parent, you're always a parent, you know, in every circumstance. And But I grew up in a wonderful churches, and that was just my refuge, you know. I would want to always go to Indian events, Indian churches, Indian events. My dad was a softball player, and he always had Indian teams at Wheeler Park that went on these Indian tournaments, you know, I just always knew I'm going to marry an Indian too. And I did. And I married a man called Tiller Wesley Jr. He's full blood Creek, and he's a mechanic. And I was going to school at East Central for music. And things changed. I'll always remember my parents telling me that you can't do this. And I'd say, why? And they'd say, because you sing. You and your sister can sing. So that's why you don't need to go down this road or that road, you know. And that really helped keep me on the narrow, the straight and narrow road, was my singing. And it really did, you know. I mean, I veered off, you know, I had a lot of bad detours in my Christian life. This coming June, I will be 61 years old in Jesus. My birthday, the birthday of my spiritual birth. And, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my gray hair. I'm proud of my wrinkles. I'm proud of what God has given me. And the reason why I say I'm a Christian Kiowa is that I had no choice in telling my Creator who I'm supposed to be born to. So that's why I always say I'm a Christian first, and then I have this heritage. But the heritage of the family of God is just incredible. He's brought me through cancer. My husband had cancer, and he took him home. Did that let me down? No, he healed him. He healed him completely when he took him home. I've had cancer too, and he healed me here. That was his choice. That was his plan. It's not time yet to go yet, you know. And so he has brought me many things of my husband passed with colon cancer, and then so I came back. I was living in Texas when he died, and we brought him back here. He said, I want to be buried in the Holy Lands, Oklahoma. And okay, we did. And then my parents needed me to take care of them and their elderly layers. They've passed away now. They both passed when they were 91 years old. And I live in their house and enjoy. I come to Glorietta. I've been a member here at Glorietta Baptist Church for 5 years. And this church is close to my house. And for my mom, in her late years, it was easier to bring her here. And she loved it here too. And that was good. It all worked out good. It's amazing how God just took care of everything. And he always has, and he always will. And because just always remembering how he's taken care of me and my parents and my family. And by the way, they are alive and well. My mother's, I didn't lose my mom. She is alive and well. My father, I still have a father. He's alive and well. My husband is alive and well. I lost a sister in a car accident in 1981. Devastating. That was the first time I've experienced death, you know, with her death, and devastating. We're 2 years apart, and she was like my idol. She was my second mom, my best friend, everything. So that was some hard times, but he's brought me through all of that, and here I am today rejoicing, and like the song says, you know, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he gets, you know. Jesus is my hiding place. He lives here inside my heart. He's love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, patient. I'm always thinking of a song where he looked beyond my faults. And I had a lot of faults. I think about my husband when I first met him and he wasn't a Christian. And he would say, I'm good. I don't drink, which I was glad, you know. I don't smoke cigarettes. Good. I work hard and I give money to my parents for survival. They were a very poor family. Why do I need Jesus? And that used to stump me a lot. And I'd say, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs forgiveness. But I haven't done anything to ask. I go, and I didn't have a lot of answers for him at that time. But as time went on, as we got to know each other more, and I'd see mistakes. See, you need Jesus. See how you lost your temper? That's sin. If you can say you're perfect, then yeah, you don't need Jesus. But you're not perfect. You can't keep every law. That's why you need Jesus. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why you need Jesus. You've missed the mark. And Jesus is so loving and kind. He'll look beyond that and he'll forgive you and forget it. And he finally did accept Jesus as his Savior just before he was married, praise the Lord. Because I knew I could not marry him unless he, you know, looked to the Lord. That's what's neat too about knowing Jesus. There are standards there. Standards that need to be in place as a young person. So you don't go down the wrong road. God's word says, how can a young person stay pure? By taking heed to the word of God. And then in verse 11 in Psalms, verse 11 says, thy word I've hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. And it's so amazing to see people grow. You know, when you help them learn who Jesus is, that he'll forgive you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he'll forgive you. And you can have peace. You don't have to worry about things. I just love to know what Jesus did. He heals the brokenhearted. And their family, my husband's family, was really broken. And it helped a lot, but some are still struggling now that won't accept that way versus more traditional way, you know. And they struggled with a lot of evil things. And I believe it. There's evil, you know, Satan. He's not everywhere, but God is everywhere. And he can kind of count on all of us, even Christians, to have some lustful feelings, to have hate and a lot of things of the world. But God is everywhere. And the things that troubled my husband's family, they never, ever troubled my Indian family. Because we put God first. And that makes the difference. And when my husband, when we got married, and he's a Christian, but he was learning to be a Christian, learning God's word, learning how to pray. And he was an artist, and we would travel a lot. And in our motel room, boy, he'd always get this stick or whatever, looked like weapons to me, and bolt that door. And then he'd even put some, like, medicine, too. It was in more like a, maybe like a feather. Wasn't quite a feather, though. I can't remember. And I'd say, you know, the Lord's comfort. And he goes, I know, but he just grew up that way. You know, this is our protection. But it's, praise God. You know, I just kept silent. And I said, but we know we have the Lord. And I'd always say we have the Lord, but okay, that's what you want to do. And as he started growing in Jesus, there's a Kiowa man in our Indian church in Albuquerque. We went to Albuquerque for my job. I had a teaching job at one of the six other pueblos. And but there was a Kiowa man in this church, Brother Willie Doito, and he was his first Sunday school teacher, and he discipled Tiller. Pretty soon, you know, we're going on our trips. He stopped doing that. Now, granted, some hotels weren't that safe, you know, and they'd bang on your door because they're drunk, you know, or somebody. And so Tiller would have a chair up there, you know, just like that, you know, but nothing of the symbolism of the evil spirits again, which he knew there's evil, you know, but we trust in God. And he knew my father very well. And he knew we didn't put up these symbols in our house because Jesus, the blood of Jesus protects us all the time. It never stops. It never stops. And like 1 John 4:4b says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have it right here, you know, that power. Yeah, Jesus went to the cross for my sin. A horrible, horrible death on the cross. And Jesus, he did that for us. He shed his blood for us on the cross. A cruel, cruel death. He died. He died for me and for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. He died. God's Son died. And then in 3 days, he arose. He came back. That's why I know my husband, my sister, my mother, my father, that's how I know they are alive and well with Jesus. Death is only a transition to heaven because of the great exchange. I was supposed to be on the cross for my sin, for my wrongdoing, for my ugliness. But Jesus said, no, I'll do it for you. And he went to the cross for me and took the penalty that I deserved, that was supposed to be on me, and instead gave me grace, where it's grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything. We are, our best days are filthy rags. Kind of like I think of bad rags in my house of cleaning. They're filthy. But yet Jesus, my whole self-worth is in Jesus, not my singing, not my wonderful husband's artwork that he did, not my wonderful father that taught me all of these things, and my mother who cared and nurtured me. How wonderful these parents. No, my self-worth is in Jesus Christ and what he has given me, and to live, and life worth living in Jesus. It's for everyone. Listen, you can trust Jesus with your life. Everything that is falling apart, and all those that think you're not too bad. No, no. If you're not perfect, then you need Jesus. And nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. He's for everyone. No matter what color, no matter where you come from, no matter what your status in life, if you're rich or poor, he's for you. Because we're all going to die. God's word says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't want to say, whose side am I on? Or is God on my side? No. Are you on God's side? That's what counts.
What about you, my friend? Have you accepted God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life? There's only one way to get it, and that's by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be right with God. Did you know he made that payment with you and me in mind? Why would he do this? Because he loves us, and because he doesn't want us to suffer the judgment we deserve. In the Bible, we read these words, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God is offering you forgiveness and peace right now. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Want to know more? Please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening, and remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.